Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Hey folks, welcome back. This is episode 7. Of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters with me, your host, A.P. Fuchs, writer and illustrator from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, which is smack dab in the middle of the continent. If you look at a map, I'm hovering right above North Dakota. So yeah, if you look at a map, I'm like right in the middle. So anyway, let's talk about monsters. We've been talking a lot about superheroes, and that's great, but yeah, let's talk a little bit about monsters. So I want to tell you two things about monsters. One is one that really scared me. It's a movie, and we'll talk about it in a second. And the other part is the secret to that movie and the storytelling that made it frightening as heck for me. Okay? So the movie in question, I saw it when it came out in the theater, and it was one of those first time, at the time, found footage monster features, and it was the Blair Witch Project. And in that entire movie, the black and white, the home recording video style, the acting, I've read some stuff about, behind the scenes, how the actors were actually kind of given, they weren't actually given a script, they are given basically a gist of, okay, in this scene, this is the gist of it, this is what we're going to do, and this is kind of how you're going to be, but that's it. The rest was like, it was basically improv. And, some of the actors have gone on record saying they were genuinely terrified during certain moments and during certain filming sequences because, again, they didn't know what was happening. And that movie scared the crap out of me. Like, oh, I have a fear of, I have two fears in terms of locations. One is dark basements, and that's because of Blair Witch Project. And the other is dark forests. I just can't handle it. I've tried it, going into a forest at night, even just 10 feet in, and I stand there and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, a bear's gonna come and like eat my face off or something, But anyway, throw up Blair Witch. They're in the woods, right? And they're and this monster, this Blair Witch, so to speak, is haunting them. And what makes the storytelling so brilliant, and which is the secret to the fear of that movie, is that you don't see the monster. It's there, it's acting and doing stuff, but you don't see the monster. And that's a secret to good monster storytelling. I mean, when I write my fiction with monsters and zombies and werewolves and vampires and stuff, I show the monster doing monster things, doing their cool stuff, whatever is attributed to that particular monster, whether it's a zombie, the werewolf, the vampire. But I have a few stories too where I don't show the monster, and those are even more frightening because that leaves it totally up to the reader's or viewer's imagination, as to what's going on, and that's the secret to good horror/monster storytelling. Is don't show the monster. Blair Witch scared me. I saw the sequel too. As the sequel is dark, kind of twisted, and it was disturbing. I found it, you don't see the monster either in that one from what I recall, but yeah, it just was not the same as the first one. So the first one, yeah, that terrified me, and I remember going back to my apartment, and I lived alone at the time, and I came home from that movie and laying in bed with the lights off, and I had my hallway light on with the door slightly open to let some light in, because the idea of laying there in the dark and thinking back fresh, on these terrifying scenes, yeah, that was just, for me, that was too much. Especially, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but if you know the ending of that movie, the very last scene, I mean, that was like a punch in the face and a punch in the heart. It was just like, ugh. Anyway, yeah, monster storytelling. Crazy stuff. Okay. Now, creative stuff. I've been spending a lot of time, working on videos and video editing, working on this podcast, doing some other video entertainment for the YouTube channel and TikTok and whatnot. And all, you know what I've been using strictly right now, like for right now, is I just been using my phone. And that's being honest. It's an Android. It's a couple years old. When I got it, it was a year old. So I guess technically it's 3 years old because I never buy the new model of a phone. I always get the year previous because otherwise it just costs an arm and a leg per month. And I, for me personally, I don't need all the bells and whistles all the time for stuff. You know, I mean, I like that it does things, but I don't need to have the latest greatest. So anyways, this podcast and stuff are being recorded via the my cell phone right now, and we're going to start there in terms of equipment before we get into like heavy duty stuff like the Joe Rogan Experience. You know, you got the mic, you got the headsets, you got, you know, someone filming you with a high def camera and all of this stuff. No, like right now we're going to stick to the basics because I want the show to grow and I want to see where the audience is. I want to see if there's listeners. I want to test the waters, so to speak. And it makes no sense to go out and buy a pile of super expensive equipment to do this off the hop. Later down the road, that, you know, definitely, yeah, a better mic and whatnot is definitely going to be looked at. But at this point in time, we're just doing this via the phone, and it seems to be working well enough. And that's just letting you know the tech side of what I've been doing creatively is, doing work on some videos, getting things together, assembling, getting this sort of entertainment machine running. Because if you go to my website, apfuchs.ca, like you'll notice that it's kind of a multimedia site, despite being an author/illustrator site, you know, and that's what I want to do. I mean, that's what I've always wanted to do. With my art and with my words is entertain. And like I mentioned in a previous episode, you know, if I was independently wealthy, like my books and comics, 100% free. I mean, I even have a free comic out there right now, and it's called Fredericus. It's a web comic, Fredericus.com. Go there, and you get some free entertainment. You know, comic book form. Right now, we're just going to stick with what we have, work with what we have, and then move on to things as we go on. But anyway, I've been rambling long enough. We're here for story time. So let's get into story time right away. Tune your ears, tune your heart, tune your mind, get your imagination ready. It's time for the next episode from Flash Attack, my flash fiction collection. Here it comes. Story number 7. Here we go. Episode 7, The Party. "Hold it closer, I can't read it," one said. Though his eyes were adapted to the dark, trying to read the text on the card two held out in front of him was still difficult. "Here, is this better?" two said. "Yeah." There wasn't much light coming into the 6x8-foot space, only the little that came through the 2-inch-tall space beneath the door. There wasn't anything in here, just four walls, one of which had the door. A locked door. It had become home to one and two, since as far back as they could remember. "Soon you will be free. It will be the party of a lifetime," one said, reading the card. "What do you think it means?" "I don't know. What is a party? Never heard that word before." "I think it means seeing a group of people or something." One studied Two's face. Brown hair, brown eyes, blank expression. Apparently One also had brown hair and brown eyes. "Do you think he'll let us out?" Two asked. "Mr. Numbers?"
"Dr. Numbers," Two said. "You know how he hates being called Mr."
"Right. Not sure what the difference is." One and Two were the same height, so Two discovered when they stood back to back that one time.
They also were the same build, thin but sturdy. They also wore the same clothes, a black jumpsuit which sometimes made Two look like a floating head in the dark. There was a knock at the door, and a voice came from the other side. You boys ready? It was Dr. Numbers. For the party? One asked. Yes, a lot of important guests are here. Guests? Two whispered. What are guests? I guess we'll find out, one said. To the door. Yes, we are ready. Then stand back. I'm opening the door, Dr. Numbers said. There was a ka-chunk, and the door opened. Light flooded into the tiny room, and one immediately shut his eyes. A moment later, a firm hand pulled on his arm. He guessed it was Dr. Numbers touching him because there was no way Two would grip him so hard. He was slowly guided forward. He blinked open his eyes. The room was bright, light seeming to cover everything. People much taller than him stood around in a semicircle. Some were like him and Two and Dr. Numbers. Others, they looked thinner, smoother, with rounder hips and two balls sticking out of their chests beneath their clothes. They wore really long shirts, ones that ran down to their knees, and their shoes had spikes sticking out of their heels. One didn't know how they could balance on those. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Numbers said, I give you One and Two, identical in every way and holding the inner properties you are all looking for. The people slapped their hands together in quick succession. One didn't understand why they did that. He didn't like the noise. He looked over at Dr. Numbers and took the man in for the first time. He was taller than him, with gray hair, wrinkled skin, skin that wasn't the same color as his own. Dr. Numbers' skin was lighter, like a very light brown, kind of white. Two. He glanced over at Two. Two looked different as well, out here in the light. His hair appeared a lighter brown and his dark skin was a different color, one that reminded him of plum Dr. Numbers had given him that one time. Now, now, don't be shy, Dr. Numbers said. One wasn't sure if the man was talking to the people or to him and Two. The people closed in, and the next thing One knew, him and Two had hands running all over them, feeling their faces and their bodies through their clothes. One overheard someone say to Dr. Numbers, You sure you bred them properly? Yes, Dr. Numbers replied quietly. Isolated in the dark as instructed. They're ready for sampling. Excellent, the other person said. Two leaned in and whispered to One, Do you know what sampling means? One was surprised Two heard the exchange, but then again, each of their hearing seemed to be the same, nice and sharp. I think that's the first game of the party. Good, I'm excited. Dr. Numbers stepped between One and Two and put his arms around each of their shoulders. Boys, are you ready? Yes, One said. Uh-huh, Two said. Good. To everyone else, are you ready? Smiles lit the room and each person produced a couple of small shiny objects. One recognized them as knives and forks from a picture book he once looked at in that small room. The people stepped closer. Knives drawn.
Thank you.
As always, thank you for sticking around to the very end of the show, listening to the thundering music and all that, da-da-da, and then coming here. I appreciate it. Thank you. And you know what? We're going to give you a weird fact today. You know, I'm a Christian, so this one actually is interesting. According to Reader's Digest, this is presented by Reader's Digest. Okay, so it's not me. It's not some site made up stuff. Apparently, roller coasters were invented to distract Americans from sin. According to the Reader's Digest statement on it, it says basically in the 1880s, hosiery businessman LaMarcus Thompson didn't like that Americans were tempted to go to hedonistic places like saloons and brothels and I'm sure gambling joints and other things like that. So he set out to straighten up one of the most immoral places he could think of, and it was actually Coney Island in New York. And there he built America's first roller coaster, and he wanted to give New Yorkers some good, clean fun away from the other stuff. So there you go. Roller coasters were invented to improve morality. That's interesting. I never knew that. So that's pretty cool. So here we go. Anyway, thank you for joining me. Please like, comment, subscribe. Join the journey, and let's keep going, and we'll see you next episode for another story. Bye-bye.